To be back at this special occasion. Understand this first time you've been able to meet together for how many months now?
Since we started, about 2 months.
Yeah, about 2 months. Special time. I preached this lesson I'm giving you, I preached last week at our congregation. We've been getting back maybe a month ahead of you guys, but we're, you know, still one service, still isolated. And my lesson is titled, by the way, The Dangers of Isolation. And we're going to talk about what we've all gone through. These have been times, regardless of your age, you'll have some stories to tell later about this year and the things that experienced. The people go, what? This really did happen. It did happen. And there are things to learn from it. That's not the first time in history something like this has happened. 1918. I'm a history guy. I love to study history. A much more severe pandemic occurred in 1918. But nonetheless, this makes us appreciate our need of people. See, I'm the kind of what I call the bubble guy. You know, I kind of try to ignore it. Like, I don't need people. And kind of act like I'll be fine on my own. But we've all come to realize our need of people, haven't we? This has not been this has been a very difficult thing, and I'm not going to criticize our governors and our government, but I believe they try to make the best decision for us, and later we may look back and say some better decision could be made. I'm not here to put people down, and I'm not here to put people down in terms of people's own personal choices they're trying to make to take care of yourself. But I am to say that we need people. God made us social. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper comparable to him." And I'll tell you, when you're going through difficult times, if you just have one person that you can share and be with, it means everything. Book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 4:10, it says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." I have not. I've been surprised at how this period has affected me. I'm not an emotional guy. But it has had it's had its own effect on all of us. We need people. Now, I'll tell you one thing that just shouldn't have been affected in this, and that's our relationship with God. If you live long enough, we're all going to go through times of isolation. Work in the nursing home, you know, you see it. And we just don't know what the future is going to hold, but we know that we should be very thankful for the family we have, for our marriage, for our children, for our brethren in Christ. And one thing that should never be affected is our relationship with God. And so, actually, if we have handled this well, this has made us stronger. And if we haven't handled it well, there's some things we can learn about our God and our relationship with Him. Ecclesiastes 3:11 talks about we make social creatures. The greatest need we have is God. He says He's made everything beautiful in its time. And He has put eternity in their hearts. God. Isaiah 57:15. God wants a relationship with us. But let me tell you, if this has humbled us, if this has made us needy, and we're hurting, and we have turned to God with that, that's good. That's good. Going through the fire, handling it correctly makes us stronger. Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him," now notice this, "with him who has a contrite and humble spirit." Now let me tell you what God does when you're hurting. It says to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite. This has been a wonderful opportunity for us to strengthen our relationship with God. And I pray that's been the case. But this situation has caused the church, I just have to say, it has caused the church in many ways to be weakened because, again, I'm not against any of the restrictions that's been put out. I think we've had to do what we've had to do. I appreciate Martin talking about, you know, we got streaming, but that doesn't substitute us being here today. It doesn't substitute for that. And let us look forward to the purpose of my sermon this morning, what lies ahead. Brethren, one day it's going to go back to normal. One day we're not going to have any restrictions. And that day's coming. Let's talk about the path to get there. First off, let us know that the very nature of what we've all experienced, the real pain of isolation. Pain of isolation is oftentimes, commonly, far more hurtful than any physical pain. I've heard Martin's sunburn story. You might have heard it yet. It'd be interesting. But he has some helpers for the helpers. You know, there's something about experiencing physical pain, because I remember with me, if I got hurt, I went to Mama. Now, let me tell you what, I didn't go to Daddy. Because if I had a splinter in my finger, he said, I'm going to get out my pocket knife, and then I went to Mama. You know, that was it. And maybe if you got a dad to take care of you, I tried to learn my dad techniques, and so they always went to his dad. But there's something when you're hurting, you got somebody to help. There was a book written years ago talking about a pandemic. Pandemic you might not have heard the name of. The book's called Epidemic. It's called The Loneliness Epidemic. The society we live in right now is the most lonely culture society in the history of our country. And that epidemic's still going. And then we've had this one. But the writer says we are social animals and need to feel that we belong to others and feel connected to one another. Social pain is as real a sensation for us as physical pain. Researchers have shown that loneliness and rejection activates the same parts of the brain as physical pain. There was a time, Paul stood alone at many times. And sometimes he stood alone and he shouldn't have. His brother should have stood with him. In 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Brethren, sometimes we disappoint each other. God doesn't disappoint us. But even whether it's people forsaking us or the very natural circumstances we face, we miss our brethren. Let's talk about Job. Some awful things happened to Job. Can't imagine losing your family in one day. Do you know what happened to Job after that? People shunned him. The ones who should have been his friends made accusations falsely against him as if this was because of his sin. You know, I'm at Auburn right now. If we get toward the fall, if we had normal circumstances, we'll have about 350 people in the congregation. Right, well, I think we hit 185 the other day with isolation, you know, situation. I don't know how we're going to feel. We got some real logistic problems coming to fall. But you know what I know about Auburn? You can have 350 people in the audience, and you can be lonely. And you can be hurting, and you can be isolated. Just because you're in a group of a bunch of people doesn't mean you're connecting to them. Here Job says, Job 30:26, but when I looked for good, evil came to me. When I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun. Now listen to this one. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. You know, one thing about Charlottesville, we were very connected. I'll never forget the covered dish, the meals we'd have every Sunday, get together. I remember going up to Chris and Julie's and the Carlsons. By the way, the Carlsons have moved to Auburn. I did try to recruit them down there, but you know what? One of the reasons why I think they wanted to come to Auburn, we spent a lot of time together, eating and visiting and knowing one another. Here's Job saying, I came to the assembly and I cry out for help. You know what can happen in assembly? I think this will be a strong part about Charlotte. So you may say, we're a small group. Who won't come to a small group? I want to tell you something. Large groups can be real challenging. Martin knows that. You can have a lot of people, but you can have a lot of people not very close. And here, he's crying out for help. And guess what his response is? I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. And these are wild beasts. And of course, I think, well, I got Sweet Pea. I got my dog Sweet Pea. My dog Sweet Pea will love me. Wag his tail, we know. But here's the essence of isolation and hurting. And could I say, brethren, again, I don't know all who are with, you know, with the group here. And, but, you know, we basically, you may have some people right now that's isolated. And they're going to be in need. And as we start coming back to normal, let's make sure we're reaching out and trying to help those people reconnect. And so again, that's always the battle in local churches. One of the things about isolation, let me tell you another thing about isolation. When you're isolated, your natural weaknesses are amplified. Do you have any negative thoughts you have to push out of your mind? We all do. My mind's constantly going. I got different voices in my head. And it's real temptation when you're isolated, man, to write off the world, to write off your brethren, you know, woe is me, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going out and eat worms, the old children's song, you know, we can really get caught up in that. Great men in the Bible had to struggle with that. Elijah, remember Elijah in 1 Kings 18, fought that battle against the prophets of Baal? Tremendous battle, but he had to be disappointed. You know, stand up, the Lord's God, you know, and they just sat on their hands. They wouldn't say the Lord is God until after the battle. And it had to hurt him. Notice what Elijah did after the battle. Jezebel threatens to kill him in 1 Kings 19:4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Isolated. All right, Elijah, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing, but you're pulling away from people who could encourage you and help you. You've gone into isolation, so listen to his prayer. And he came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he may die. It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father. Later on, he says in verse 14, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel, forsaking your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. Not true, Elijah. Isolation can do that to us. Congregation the size of Auburn, we've got a massive job trying to get people reacquainted. You stay isolated long enough, it's interesting the thoughts that people will have above the brethren and what they're doing or not doing when we don't know. It's so very easy to get caught up in what I call an emotional reality. Now, add to that TV, add to that the terrible things we've seen on TV, the protests and the riots. Right now, in political eras, what is done typically in political eras, people want to inject you with adrenaline. And they want to get you mad. They want to get you upset. So you may vote for somebody. I think that's crazy. But nonetheless, you see that historically. I think back to 1968. Where we had the Vietnam War, the tragic assassination of Martin Luther King. We had legitimate, terrible things happening, and we had riots. I don't remember the Chicago convention, and there was riots and stuff. Just keep in mind, my brethren, let's look at God. Let's look at my brethren. Let's look at what we can do, and let's be careful not to get caught up in the spirit of the world right now. And added to isolation, it makes it that much harder. And I worry about our spirits in times like this. So, Roman numeral 3, if you got an outline, don't have an outline. But we've got to move ahead with God's wisdom. Brethren, we cannot change the past. Governments have made decisions. We have complied with those decisions. I don't regret what we've done. But let me tell you what's ahead. We're going to be back together. We're going to be back doing the things we have done together. We are in time with wisdom. And I can't tell you exactly how that path's going to come. But we're going to be back to normal. Now, one of the things that we have faced is brethren have different views of what is safe in this environment. And you know what? I respect your views. I'm not a doctor. Matter of fact, I read things. I have sources you read. You have sources you read. And we've got a lot of different opinions on how to handle that. I'd use this as an illustration. I told you I'm a Bubba. You know, I got the 3-second rule. If I drop something on the ground and it's not there for longer than 3 seconds, I'll pop it in my mouth. Now, some of you would go, ooh, gross. And, you know, we've got different ways that we may handle things personally. And I'm going to respect you. And if you're more restrictive than me, or maybe you're more loose than me in some of these things, and vice versa, I want to respect you and I want to be patient with you. Would you be patient with me? I think it's very similar to Romans 14. Romans 14:4, where he talks about things that are not unlawful. We're talking about things that are lawful, but people have different views on. He says, who are you to judge one another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Verse 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which we may edify one another. One of the things I looked at here before I came out is what kind of precautions are you taking? And if somebody wanted me to take some precautions to make you feel comfortable, I do that. I find out what level of comfort you have. But we're just trying to be patient with one another. But I'll tell you, get a congregation of any size, that's very difficult. Now, let's go back to the point of what this pandemic has done to us. It's weakened the church. In all likelihood, it has, because we haven't been able to get together. We haven't been able to get together with those that we want to teach, oftentimes. Maybe there's some limits, maybe some things we can do. But when we cannot be together, we are more limited in God's work in that area. And I want you to know our goal is to be back fully together in time. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I did some lessons earlier in all of this, and I think you all understand this. Streaming is not a substitute for the assembly. Having Lord's Supper on streaming is not a substitute for the assembly. We're doing this out of the, kind of like the ox in the ditch. We're trying to take care of a very extraordinary circumstance. And under normal circumstances, this is not how we would do the church. The assembly would be one another. I see you, you see me. That is what we're going back to. But you know what? We've got some brethren who are very fearful. Maybe rightly so. Maybe I'm the fool and not being as careful as I ought to be. But you know, we're going to have to be patient with our brethren as they overcome their fear. And you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to listen to one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're not going to ridicule one another. Fear is an interesting thing. Back when I was 12 years old, my dad gave me, maybe I've been 10, I don't remember how old I was. My dad gave me a bike for Christmas. We have the old 8mm or 16mm film, and I was so excited about getting that bike. You know what? I went in on that bike, and I wrecked. And you know what happened to me? I find this fascinating. I became irrationally fearful of my bike. I wouldn't get back on it. January passed, February passed, May passed, June passed, July passed. My birthday is coming up, August 28th. And my dad says, son, if you don't ride your bike, I'm going to give it to some kid in the neighborhood. Now, he knew the button to push. And so it's on my birthday. I had people help me. They ran behind me and held the bike, and I rode my bike, and I loved that bike. Once I got to ride that bike, I rode everywhere. Got into trouble. Probably could have got killed on it one time. But you know what happened after I rode my bike? This is kind of gross, but what happened? I threw up. The fear, if I finally overcame the fear, but it was an irrational fear with me. And sometimes as we work with brethren, we work with one another, I think we all may have our fears and phobias. I won't tell you about Yvette when she was growing up, her fears of snakes, and even today, you know, that's something we all have our thing. I don't like mosquitoes, so here we are outside, but it's okay. So, but it's interesting, though, how the mind works. Our goal is to be renewed in our individual relationships with another. 1 Corinthians 12, 23. This is what a local congregation does. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts that lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that all members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I know that, Chris, your family has a little experience in the military. Somebody goes on duty, away from family for months. When you come back from that duty, you've got to get reacquainted to your family. Your children. It's natural. Brethren, we've sort of had a tour of duty away from one another. And I think it may well be needed that we get reacquainted with one another. I mean that. And I urge people right now, if you can, start getting with people. Talking with people. You guys may already be doing this and there may be no problems, but within the degree that you're comfortable, open up your home. Get with others that are comfortable. I know in time, some people know we're not ready for that right now, and that's fine, that's good. But we need to be getting back together. I know this is going to happen in Auburn, and probably it's happened to you. It's going to be very rare that any church doesn't lose somebody in this country. Not everybody stays connected. In Luke 15:4, he talks about the 100 sheep and the one lost in the wilderness. And that shepherd goes after that one. And verse 7 talks about how there's great rejoicing. When we get back from this pandemic, we've got people we need to look up and try to help. Last thing to talk about. What do we need to do now? I've already mentioned about focusing on God. But one of the struggles about isolation is very hard not to become self-centered. It's like being hungry. You know you're hungry. By the way, I don't think I've gone too far yet. I'm not hungry. But, you know, here, you know, when you're hungry, and isolation tends to make you more self-centered. Just by nature. You know you're missing something. You know you need something. Let's focus on God. Let's help our brethren that are hurting focus on God. David, hiding from King Saul, the cave of Adullam, in Psalms 142:4, listen to this. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. That look at verse 5. Here's what I love about David. I think people did care about his soul, but that was his emotions there. He says, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. I love being here this morning. Lots of familiar faces. Lots of good memories. And I have to tell you, that's why I loved that song. The relationship we had in the past, we got to know each other, loved one another. I drive up to Chris's territory, 80-mile drive. I'd do that once a week. Of course, they'd make 80-mile drive down here. And we'd have those studies, and I'd tell people in Auburn, I said, that was the shortest 80 miles I ever drove. There'd be time on Thursday afternoons, I'd say, I sure wish I'd be driving up the Stafford area. So that's neat. That's good. That's probably the strength of a work like this. Spiritually, did you know the strongest people, that, in my opinion, this is my opinion, and I'm not trying, you know, there's exceptions to all of this, but probably the stronger Christians we've got in our larger congregation came from small because of that connection and because of the development potential. And so I want to tell you, don't ever look down. Don't ever feel bad. We don't have many here in Charlottesville. Powerful work to be done, and I believe it is being done here. Remember when Paul was discouraged? Look at 2 Corinthians 7, 5 to 7. Paul got very, very discouraged. And this is very rare for Paul. But he says, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast." Now notice how God comforted Paul. "Comforted us by the coming of Titus." Not only by his coming, but by the consolation which he has comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, and rejoice even more. We need people. He got to hear about Titus, got to hear about his brethren. I heard the story once about the child who was afraid of the thunder. And he's crying out to his parents, and he says, "Look, God will take care of you." And the child says, "Look, I know that, because I just want somebody with skin on right now." And wanted to have his parents pray. And so, let's be taking those steps that I've talked about. I want to leave with you with the illustration of Jesus. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. It's interesting. Psalm 69. Love you reading Acts 2. We've been teaching our high school class on resurrection, and we've been looking at fulfilled prophecy. Haven't dealt with Psalm 16 yet. But Psalms 69, listen to this verse. Verse 20. "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I look for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforter, but I found none." What is that talking about? Look at verse 21. "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." When Jesus was on the cross, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I believe that he was looking out with his physical eyes to see the circumstance that he saw around the cross. Now, of course, his mother was there. John was there. But let me tell you something else. Jesus was not forsaken in another way. You take some time to read Psalms 22 where it says, my God, why thou forsaken me?" I won't do that this morning. But I'm going to go to John 16:32. Yes, we go through times of isolation. But listen to what Jesus said about what his experience is going to be on the cross. He says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God never forsook Jesus in the sense of ever leaving him. And you read Psalms 22 in the context of, my God, why has thou forsaken me?" He had confidence in his memory of God. He says, "You're enthroned on the praises of Israel." The thoughts of Jesus on the cross is found in Psalms 22. And he found strength in knowing that his God was there and would never forsake him. Many years ago, as I was a Bubba single guy, first time I met a Carter was in Abbeville, Alabama. Chris's uncle Gary lived next door to me. that was where I began going wrong back then. But it ended up going the Carter family quite well. And I was overweight, single, hadn't had a date in 4 years, like that. I was going into debt every month. And that was the time I started taking up running. And then I started memorizing scripture. And I look back at that time as a time of great spiritual growth. But I also had some people stand with me and some wonderful people. And so as I conclude the lesson, we're going to be back together soon. It's not going to be long. We're going to be patient with our brethren, but we're going to look back to when we come back together, not only to renew our acquaintances that we have, but let's reach out to others. Let's renew our evangelism. Let's look after ones that are isolated and hurting. And brethren, what a powerful work you have here. Don't you ever doubt the power of faithful Christians standing beside one another and encouraging. Want to extend the invitation? We have the best baptistry I've ever had right here. You know, one thing I meant to do, I was going to read from you from Matthew 6, but this is great illustration. Don't need PowerPoint. Behold the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, you know. Wait, don't worry. You know, hey, I had to put that in here. Here, Jesus, last year I went with Stephen and Nathan. They took me to Israel. And that Sea of Galilee, it's very interesting how Jesus all the time talks from a boat. I talked about Martin about getting a boat with my size 14s, and so maybe I didn't need one, my size 14, maybe I could have floated out there, but we decided not to do that. But this is a great place to have an assembly, weather cooperation. So thank you this morning. If you need the prayers of the saints as a Christian, we'd love to pray for you, with you. Those who have not yet obeyed the gospel, the invitation is it's something we extend with much more study having been done in the background. If we can help you in any way, be right with God, would you come with this study?
Let us sing. Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make them white.